We're here with Hugh, Trevor and Zach from Natural Alpha, who've done something a bit special with their game, Dirigible. Can you just explain to me, at what point did you decide you actually wanted to make your own arcade console for the game?
I think, so what happened was, I've been into pinball for a while. It's really retro gaming. And then your aunt had...
Well, my girlfriend's aunt had a tabletop game called Snoopy, which didn't work, and she said one night, oh, here, I'm going to give you this tabletop game, maybe you can use it. I couldn't, but I knew a guy who was an electrical engineer, that was Trevor, so I gave it to him, and he restored it. And then he discovered that he really enjoyed tabletop gaming, so back to
Trevor. Yeah, I immediately became obsessed with it, especially the fact that a lot of the games from the late 70s, like we think of like LCD games and handheld games as being terrible, because all of us are from the generation that had the Tiger LCD games from the 90s, but it was like a medieval dark age, because the 70s and 80s have like arcade accurate conversions or as much as they could do. They have really complex gameplay, and some of the graphics, especially on like the panoramas from Nintendo, are really amazing and kind of a unique sort of thing. So we sort of got, we had done this last year, we had done 48-hour gaming competition last year. So we kind of decided this would be our theme for this year. So we prepped the hardware ahead of time, especially the casing, which is all Hugh.
Yes, the cases, I 3D printed all the parts as well as designed the wood parts, and then cut it all out and sanded it, varnished it, ready for this, not knowing what we're going to put on it.
Right, so yeah. We went with like a conservative four-way joystick and a fire button. I went ahead and laid all that out, and we had those ready, but there was no art and absolutely no coding. Which for the unique platform we chose to use, it's kind of a glorified industrial thermostat. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. As I say, we'd never assembled one before this either, so we'd built it all assuming that hopefully it will go together at the end.
It's kind of nice that it turns out it does.
Yeah.
What kind of battery is it running on? How long is it going to...
It's powered over USB now. So it's just 5 volts, 1 amp. We do have
a battery
iPhone battery pack charger, which would probably power these for about 90 minutes, because they use almost no power except for the sound, which is intermittent.
And annoying.
And can you tell us about the game itself? How did you use the 3 keywords to come up with your game?
The keywords are sacrifice, shield... Is that right? Guard. Sorry. Sacrifice, guard, and wave. Waves or wave?
Wave.
Wave. So... sacrifice, that immediately suggests to me Lovecraft and the Lovecraft mythos. Wave, now we're talking about Dagon. So Dagon would have to have some element of it, and I like the word dirigible. Now we've got to find some way to shoehorn that in there and get guard in there. So I'd been saying dirigible to myself, like you might say a fun word, like Bologna, over and over again, like to yourself around the house while doing laundry or whatever. And we talked about why would Dagon need sacrifices? Well, because he's angry, because he's hungry, whatever. Who knows what Dagon's reasons are.
The idea, basically, how we've incorporated it is the water is a huge element of the game. There's different levels. It's basically Defender or Choplifter in reverse. You find people in Innsmouth, you take them over the open ocean, and you drop them. And the more people you drop over the open ocean faster, sacrificing them to Dagon, the slower the waves will rise. And the waves rising makes gameplay more and more difficult because it limits the places that people can be. And your ability to dodge, stop with pilots.
Okay. So, since this is radio, maybe it'll be good to describe the game. The idea behind the game is that you pilot a dirigible. Dirigible, the name of the game has 3 exclamation points after the E at the end of the word dirigible, so it's really dirigible. You pilot a dirigible, and it's like the 1981 Atari game Defender, where you, in Defender, you pick up people you defend people from UFO abductions. In this, you abduct people from the city of Innsmouth, and you take them out over the open sea and drop them into the sea as sacrifices to Dagon. So let's play the audio of the game.
So there's your main intro theme. The other wrinkle in how we incorporated Guard is if you Dagon has deemed to let you sacrifice the people in another way for your own benefit. If you're not over the open sea, you can push the button and it will empty your cargo, as it were, and you gain a shield that's good for one hit, either for crashing into buildings or from the Sopwith pilots that drop bombs. But that completely wipes however many people you've collected.
And we should make it clear that in the literature that we've written for the game, there is a book that comes with the game. Shield generation is done by means of an onboard knife, which is used to slit the throats of all of the human captives that you've taken from Innsmouth.
That is important.
Yeah.
I like that you've actually printed out your own manual as well. You've put in a lot of effort. Was there any challenge in actually coming up with your own piece of hardware within 48 hours?
Oh, this guy.
So,
yes, the answer is
yes. The answer is yes.
The short answer is yes.
The platform is actually really nice. I've used it before. It's meant to give multimedia features to things that have a serial interface. The issue we ran into that we weren't really aware of is that it has lots of good graphics capabilities that you can't get access to normally. So we fell back on having to do everything like a Hercules DOS game. So basically all the graphics in the game are actually custom fonts that have to be loaded into memory, which ate up our program memory. So the long story short is we had 14K to work with, 10 of which was taken up by our graphics.
Leaving 4K for all of the functions and how many bytes were
we
left?
We have 4 bytes left. Yeah. So it is as feature complete as it's going to get for a while.
It's a really amazing piece of work. Good luck, guys. I hope you do well.
Thank you very
much.
Thanks so much. Hi, my name's Kieran Lord. I normally go by Cratesmith. My role is a programmer and designer on this project.
Hey, my name is Milenko, and I'm the artist on the project.
And you guys are two members of the Alliance of Indies, and you're an amalgam of different developers from all over the shop, and it's a rotating lineup each year?
It's basically whoever we can get. So I'm the constant member, and Milenko's quite often in it. In fact, I think Milenko's been in every single time we've run the Alliance. But everybody else is, we try and put together a team of who can afford to lose sleep this weekend, basically.
So the three words this year are sacrifice, guard, and wave. What were your thoughts when you first heard them?
Honestly, I was a lot happier than previous years. Normally they go with words that are incredibly flowery and hard to work with intentionally. And while that means we'll probably see a lot of really just simplistic entries this year, that often means you've got really high quality. But we actually managed to nail out what we think is a really good idea with them. So it's a lot of fun.
Can you tell us more about the idea that you have?
We're kind of coyishly saying that we're making Dota.
You're making Dota? That sounds rather ambitious.
You'll see further on. It's not quite that, but yeah, we're saying we're making Dota.
Okay, my name's Don Kirkland, and I'm one of the guys making the game, I think is probably the best description. Games design is my sort of professional field, but I also moonlight as a programmer, and I've been known to also do sound design, and, this is an indie team, everybody does everything.
So have you been a member of the Alliance of Indies in previous years? Are you returning?
Nope, I've never done one of these things in my life before.
Good luck.
I mean, I've made games before, but just not in this environment, so,
okay.
What
are some of the games that you've made before?
I used to work for Rockstar Games, so I did some work on Max Payne 3 and L.A. Noire for those guys, so those games you've probably heard of. I did a little bit of QA, way back when I first joined the games industry, I did a little bit of QA work on, other than that, a bunch of other games you've probably never heard of. So, but quite a few, because I've been kicking around the industry for a few years now.
So are you used to crunch time? Is this basically going to be a breeze for you?
No, because games development is never a breeze. It's a hobby that only masochists take on because they're masochists.
All right, well, good luck with your game.
The
think it was Jerry Seinfeld that said, you know, like, you find a torture you can live with, you know? So the game industry is our torture, you know?
Often you start stuff because you don't know any better. Yeah. Like if you knew what was waiting for you on the path to completing stuff, you would never start.
Awesome. Hi guys, thanks so much for talking to us.
We're here with Liam, Hannah, and Liam of Avert Studios, who've made a game called Billy Goat. What is your game actually about?
So the game entails the player riding a goat with a bow and arrow, shooting at the guards that are oncoming, and avoiding obstacles on the other side of the screen. So it is endless. So I guess the aim of the game is to get the highest score you can, while avoiding all the obstacles and everything like that. And it gets faster and faster, so there will be an endpoint for everybody, but the better players will get a higher score.
And how have you worked in the theme of sacrifice?
Sacrifice, so the goat is the sacrifice. We have a little backstory which we've done an animation for as well, where the king of the guards wants his goat to eat it as a sacrifice. And you've come to steal it back because it's your childhood friend and things like that, so.
The animation style is very cute. Who's the animator who came up with the cutscene? Well done. What was your inspiration for that style?
A lot of, like, online animators, like OniNG and, I just saw, like, Rugrats and kind of cutesy stuff like that, yeah.
Yeah, it is very cute. It looks really childlike.
Yeah, it is, yeah. Yeah, very flat colors and, yeah.
We're going for a bit of humor with this game, I think. Mm. So we want the art style to match that.
And how have you gone over the course of the 48 hours? Have you had to sort of drastically change your plans at any point?
No, not at all. We've had since the first minute, we've had a set idea and we've set each other goals and we've done them all and it's made a game and we're happy with it.
How much sleep have you had?
Me, probably 4 hours, and Hannah and Liam.
Like a solid second. No. I feel very deprived. I'm like very sleep deprived.
Maybe over 12 for them too.
And how confident do you feel?
I've seen some of the other games and they are brilliant, so I have no idea if we'll win or not, but if you like humor and if you like 2D games and fast paced and humor, then I guess we have a good chance.
And you do plan to release this after the competition, right?
Yep. So we will be releasing it on mobile devices, probably another 4 or 5 hours work on it, and we should have it out. It'll be out on Android straight away, but iOS usually takes a week. So within a week, everybody could have it on their phone.
Cool. All right. Well, good luck with that.
Thank you.
Thanks for having a chat.
Thanks, guys.
Okay, we're here with Lore Games. I can see your game, it looks sort of like a pirate island with a giant shark swimming around it. Yeah. Can you tell us what your game is called and how it uses the three key words?
So at the moment, our game's called Pirate Pusher, but that's probably subject to change. You defend a princess, so you're guarding the princess, and you've got waves of pirates that spawn and come in on rafts, the way we use sacrifice is you can jump in front of the princess and sacrifice yourself to push all the pirates away. The main gameplay is to just try and push the pirates off the islands into the water, and you can do that just by walking into them.
So is it a competitive thing? Are there other players who are also trying to protect the princess?
It's a co-op. So you join forces to try and protect the princess as long as you can, and you get points based on how long you survive and how stylishly you kill the pirates.
That's about it. All right, thanks. We might swing by tomorrow and see how you guys are doing then.
Yeah.
Cool. It looks interesting.
Yeah.
I like your shark.
Cool. Thanks, man.
Thanks very much.
Thanks.